But Jalen Hurts, who I said Denton last week after the Green Bay-Philadelphia game when we came in on Monday after the first week of the NFL season and we went back to that game, I said, man, he just looks too bulked up. He looks slow. He looks unathletic. He's physical. He's a bull. He's a fullback when he runs. Last night, I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden, he looked fleet again. He looked fast. He's also incredibly powerful. Jalen Hurts looked like Jalen Hurts from 2 years ago. 13 carries, 85 yards. Barkley had 95 yards rushing. They rushed for 186 yards, 5 yards per pop. He threw for 183, but completed 75% of his passes. He looked good, and they didn't have A.J. Brown last night. If you're wondering, Jahan Dotson, one target, one catch, 6 yards. It was kind of a quick screen. So he didn't have his number one target, and yet they were in control of this game late. So takeaway number one before we get to the end, for those of you that missed it, and it was incredible, improbable, with a lot of different strategic decisions that can be questioned, especially as it relates to Philadelphia. But I thought Jalen Hurts looked good. And I thought he looked really good. And I think Philadelphia just looks more like the Eagles of 2 years ago. They lost last night, and it's a hurtful loss for them. Barkley is a game changer, and he made a big error at the end of the game. But I'm not going to put him on the same level of Christian McCaffrey to San Francisco. But if he stays healthy, he's a total difference maker. For them. A.J. Brown, by the way, is going to be out for a few weeks. That's a big, big loss. They play the Saints this week on the road, and then they're at the Buccaneers. So their next two games are against two undefeated NFC teams. On the flip side, you know, Kirk took a pounding. We talked about the game against Pittsburgh in the opener. He didn't look like himself in that game. He looked tentative. He looked like he still might not be 100%. But I also pointed out, Denton, and you did too, that for whatever reason against the Pittsburgh Steelers, they had him in pistol pretty much exclusively. There were like two under center snaps, and there was no play action in the game. I think what we found out was that was the plan for Pittsburgh because they were fearing TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, Cam, the whole group. Pittsburgh right now through 2 weeks looks like the best defensive team in the league, but that sometimes doesn't sustain itself without, you know, an offense to match. But anyway, he took, per usual, you know who, for whatever reason, is just so polarizing. And people basically said, yeah, he done. He done after one game. After one game. And then early in the game last night, once again, he was tentative. Couple of throws. He almost got picked on the opening drive or the second drive of the game on a late throw. He had another late throw. He had an underthrown ball. And he had time. That was the thing. You typically, when you see Kirk with time, he'll carve you up. Although, to be honest with you, you don't want to blitz him either because he's carved that up too. They ran the football. Bijan Robinson, we saw two of... Who are the best running backs in the game right now after McCaffrey? Right now. Would you say Barkley?
Definitely Barkley. I would throw Bijan in there and then a healthy Nick Chubb.
Yeah, by the way, let me just throw this out. In terms of all around, Alvin Kamara. With a good scheme, Clint Kubiak's put together a scheme with some speed and an offensive line. Alvin Kamara's, he is deadly. As a back. I think he's outstanding. But I would put Bijan Robinson, and I would put the tandem of Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier near the top. By the way, I like our tandem, Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Eckler. They can run the football. They've got some playmakers. They don't have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. Drake London's good. And Darnell Mooney is okay as a kind of a third slot receiver. But Kyle Pitts right now, just he's not what we thought he was coming out of Florida. He doesn't get a lot of separation. He's a big dude, and he actually blocked well last night. But I don't see the separation there. But anyway, This game was kind of muddling along. It was one of the fastest football games I have ever seen. They were midway through the fourth quarter, and the game was just over 2 hours old. There was just, first of all, there weren't, you know, the teams weren't throwing a ton of incompletions. The clock just wasn't stopping. I think by the time we got to the fourth quarter, each team had had the ball five times, six times, and we were in the fourth quarter already. And the drives were long. Philadelphia had a long touchdown drive that took 9.5 minutes. It was like 17 plays, 70 yards. And the game went back and forth. But now we get to the end. And Philadelphia is up 18-15. And they are driving, and Atlanta is now worn down. And Atlanta uses their timeouts, and Philadelphia faces a third down and three at the Atlanta 10-yard line right after Atlanta had called their last timeout with a minute 46 to go. Now, to me, it's really simple, and I don't care about the analytics, the fourth down analytics. I don't care what a lot of these people say. Because we'll get to the play in a moment. To me, it's a simple question. Is it better to give Atlanta the ball back with more time or less time? More time or less time? It's not that hard. The answer is less time. And so when you don't have a timeout left and it is third down and three, and let me just also mention, the Eagles were running the ball down the Falcons' throat. Whether it was Barkley or whether it was Jalen Hurts, they couldn't stop the run. And they ran against a bunched up front, okay, the Falcons selling out because this is they got to get a stop here. 40 seconds will run off the clock, and then they're hoping that Philadelphia kicks a field goal or goes for it, and they've got a chance down three or down six. But it's the only chance they have is to stop Philadelphia from making a first down or making a touchdown. So Philadelphia runs a little, fake handoff, and then they got Barkley out in the flat. He actually had scored on the play earlier. He didn't score. It got overturned because he was down at the half-yard line. And he's wide open. The play works beautifully. And by the way, for those that say, well, they decided to throw the ball, that's first of all, a terrible decision. It actually isn't a decision to throw the ball. They decided on an option play. If Jalen Hurts, as he rolls right, if Barkley isn't wide open, he runs the football or just gets down so the clock rolls. But they thought they could catch Atlanta bunched up, and Barkley's wide open. And you know what Barkley's done a lot of over his career? He's dropped passes. And he dropped the football in the flat by himself. It's an easy first down, and the game is over if he catches the football. It is you throwing to your young son or young daughter in the backyard with nobody around, and he just dropped it. And the clock stops. And the clock stops with a minute 39 to go in the game, or a minute 42 to go in the game. And now Atlanta has life. So first things first, because there's some interesting things going on here. The play call worked. The execution, the player messed it up. My personal view is, in that situation with the Philadelphia Eagles, I'd go back-to-back tush pushes to end the game on third and three. But the most important thing is that you guarantee the clock runs when that next play is over. And they didn't do that. They put into play the very small chance that the clock would stop. So I'll ask you, Denton. I don't love the call there. I don't care that it was wide open and he dropped the football. For me, it's all about less time for Atlanta versus the possibility of more time. I'm running the football. I'm going back-to-back tush pushes, whatever it is. I am absolutely 100% going to make sure that clock is rolling when that play is over. What did you think of the play call on third and three?
I thought it was incredibly on brand for Philadelphia, and then echoing what you say, incredibly misguided and dumb. You know, Nick Sirianni has built a brand of being aggressive. You saw that in the beginning of the game where he's going for it deep in the territory. It's like, guy, just get points up on the board. Like, you saw what Atlanta's offense was last week, and it wasn't spectacular. Just get points on the board and force them to play from behind. And now when you end up losing by one, you look back at that situation like, wow, why don't we just go for the field goal? That's kind of what his brand is. It's uber aggressive for the sake of, I don't know, like playing to the city. Like, I can't find a rational reason in terms of wins and losses why they are so aggressive. And he has become like, he was like this poster child of like fun the first year when everything was going well. But you're right, he is so obnoxious. The facial expressions, the reactions, and now doing this uber aggressive for no reason when just not, instead of just doing the smart thing, he has become exceptionally annoying.
They have given up, I think it's 140 points in the final 2 minutes of a half or a game over the last whatever number of games it is. It's like number one in the league. So, if they complete the pass or if it's not open and Jalen Hurts goes down, because that's an option play there, okay? People that say they decided to throw the football. No, they actually decided to have throwing the football an option if it was throwing to your young son or daughter in the backyard because that's how open it was. And it was. I personally would say you have to guarantee that 40 seconds when the play is over, so the play is going to end at about a minute 40 roughly, that you're now, you know, on your fourth down play, whether it's a field goal or go for it, and we'll get to that in a moment, is going to bring it to under a minute left in the game and Atlanta has no timeouts. It is a massive difference. We all know this as NFL fans. A minute 40 with no timeouts versus under a minute with no timeouts. You know, especially when you need a touchdown. We'll get to that. But they put in play the possibility of a clock stoppage. It was stunning. You don't, if you didn't stay up to watch this game, these are the games you just love as a football fan because it was over. The game was over. Like, there was no chance, if you were watching this game, that Atlanta could win the game. You know, even if they forced the field goal with a minute to go, the way they had played, it was more, you know, a lot of dink and dunk, not a lot of big shots down the field. That's the way Vic Fangio calls a defense. You know, they play that too deep, and you got to be patient against it. We saw that Sunday, by the way, with Jaden Daniels, part of what I'll talk about in upon further review of the game on Sunday. And all of a sudden, when he dropped that ball, I was like, whoa! Kirk's going to get a chance here to go down and win this football game. But that brought strategic decision number two into play. This, to me, is even more interesting. So it's fourth and three now at the Atlanta 10-yard line. The Eagles chose to kick a field goal to extend the lead to six from 18-15 to 21-15. And the analytics people, at least those that play analytics people on the internet, said that it was a slight decision to go for it on fourth and three with a minute 40, with a minute, minute 39 left, minute 42 left, whatever it was. Here's the rationale. The rationale is that teams, when they are down three, are much more conservative in trying to get in field goal range versus when they need a touchdown, they're much more aggressive. And that puts you as a defense into a more vulnerable position to losing in regulation. I get that. That is intuitive as football fans, right? When a team just needs three, they're playing for the three. They're playing for field goal range. When they have to score a touchdown, they're going for the touchdown. Because they have no choice. When they're down three, they never seem to be going for the touchdown to win the game. I just, in that moment, in that game, the context around it, I am not, first of all, giving them a minute 35 or a minute 39 left. I'm giving them less than a minute because I would have run the ball on third down. But I'm still kicking the field goal there to go up six. If you can't stop a team with no timeouts left in a minute 40 from getting into your end zone, and by the way, they had only gotten into the end zone once. They struggled in the red zone, Atlanta had. They were, I think, 0 for 2 in the red zone. They kicked 3 field goals in the game. They were 1 for 3 in the red zone. Well, that's because they scored on that final drive. But going into it, they were 0 for 2. And the touchdown that they had was on an all-out zero coverage blitz, and Kirk burned it and hit Mooney for a touchdown. So I think 4th and 3. Now, 4th and 3, there's a good chance Philly will get it. You know, and by the way, you can throw it there because it doesn't matter on 4th down if the clock stops, because it's going to stop anyway on an incomplete pass. So I think the chances that they make 4th and 3 are probably 50-50 or better. Now, they missed early in the game, had a chance to kick a field goal, as you mentioned, early in the game. But I'm taking the 6-point lead, putting my defense on the field and saying, this is a team that hasn't hit a big play. They've hit one big play all night. We can stop them from scoring a touchdown. But the analytics people said it's a very close call, that Philly should have gone for it, because it's better if they miss that Atlanta's then going for 3 instead of for a touchdown. What do you think?
I have a question. Do you think that the NFL, I guess namely Sirianni, this arrogant human, do you think he is caught up to what Kirk Cousins is now, or do you think he is still holding on to perception of, we're going to give ourselves a 6-point lead against a guy that struggles in prime time and isn't clutch? Because we know now that he's clutch. Like, the past 2-3 years have shown that he's one of the best, and you gave the stat, he's one of the best in the NFL. But do you think that this organization is still holding on to the perception that he's not that? Which is why they felt more comfortable going up 6, saying he's not going to march all the way down the field. He hasn't done it.
I don't. I mean, I think these guys, first of all, it's like all these narratives about certain players that are polarizing, you know, just how silly they are. I mean, the prime time, he's won 4 out of his last 5 in prime time, including the last one last year against the 49ers. No, I don't. I think Sirianni typically just thinks about himself and his team and has that aggressive mindset that you discussed. And but in that particular situation, he decided to go up 6. I think it was the right call. The analytics people, I think, disagree with that because of that, you know, mindset about teams down 3 versus needing a touchdown or else. The key there is you didn't go into 3rd down understanding a simple question. Is it better if Atlanta has more time or less time when they get the ball back, if they get the ball back? And the answer, of course, is less time. And they didn't, if they had done that and kicked the field goal and they're up 6 with 55 seconds to go, it's a completely different situation. Anyway, let me finish with this. You probably know by now, they kicked the field goal. Atlanta takes the ball at their own 30 with a minute 39 to go. And 6 plays later, they're in the end zone. Cousins, you know, over the middle to Kyle Pitts for a 1st down, to Mooney for 21, to Mooney for 26, to London for 5. Then there was, a missed interference call in the end zone on 2nd and 5. And then 3rd down and 5 at the Philly 7 with 34 seconds to go. Drake London makes a move on Darius Slay that is just outstanding. And Kirk puts it on the money. And all of a sudden, the game is tied at 21-21. But that's when the next interesting thing happens. Drake London gets flagged for excessive celebration. He did some sort of thing with the holsters and the guns. I don't even know what he was doing. It's stupid, though. I actually thought it was dumb to flag it, too. I thought it was over the top to flag it in that particular situation. We've seen that sometimes. It's just, what are you doing? Put the flag back in your pocket. But it made the extra point a 48-yard extra point, which in today's game is no big deal, right? You know, and Koo, the kicker, made it. And they took a 22-21 lead. I thought in the moment it was an interesting conversation about whether or not the Eagles should have chosen the assessment of the penalty on the point after or the kickoff that would follow. And the reasoning is you have that ball kicked off from the 20. And I looked up the rules. I'll cut to the chase. you're not allowed now on a touchdown, a score. You're not allowed to take that penalty on the kickoff. It has to be assessed on the try. But if the penalty had happened on the try, meaning the PAT, then the kicker goes back 15 yards to the 20. Everything else stays the same with the new kickoff rules. The zone in which coverage and return, you know, that 40-yard line, 35-yard line, they stay there. The landing zone is the same. Anyway, long story short, they took it on the try because they didn't have a choice. He made it, and then Philly, still 34 seconds to go, and they had plenty of time. I mean, in this day and age, all you got to do is cross midfield, and there's a chance at a field goal attempt. And Jalen Hurts threw to Devontae Smith, overthrew him. And I think, honestly, one of the better players in the league right now in terms of secondary players, Jesse Bates, makes the interception. He's outstanding. He is really a good player. And Atlanta pulled off a miracle win. It was big for them because they were reeling after last week. And their quarterback got it done when it mattered. Philly drops to 1-1. That's a hurtful loss. That game was over. But I still look at Philadelphia through the course of that game, Denton, and I'm like, they're better than they were last year. And they didn't have A.J. Brown last night. But Barkley makes them so much more dynamic offensively. What did you think?
I did think they looked better, but I'm kind of concerned about what they're going to do with the extended time off for A.J. Brown. Because what did they say, like 4 weeks, 4 or 6 weeks, something like that, somewhere in that neighborhood? I really like Devontae Smith, but we've never seen him be a true number one option. And, I mean, where are all the people that said that Adam Peters got fleeced with the Jahan Dotson trade? Y'all want to come out of the woodworks? We hiding, because he has one target through 2 weeks. He was supposed to be this next guy. We are asking questions. Do they have the best wide receiver core in the NFL? No, they clearly don't.
That's right. I forgot about that. I mean, like, when we first started to discuss the possibility, we were talking, it's a day two pick. It's a third, fourth rounder. And people did initially think that Philadelphia fleeced Washington in that deal. Look, it's too early. God, I mean, these definitive sweeping conclusions after the guys played two games and been there for a month is crazy town. I mean, I've seen some of it. Oh, they fleeced Philly. Stop. It's way too early. The deal in the moment was actually a fair deal. That's what he was worth. All right, he was worth somewhere, or you know, on a day two, a late day two, night two pick, you know, third round, maybe early day three. But that's what he had become worth a lot less. But it's two games, just like, you know, Cousins after one game. It's one game. By the way, they played the Steelers and T.J. Watt. Just like, I don't know, maybe New Orleans, because, I don't know, the New Orleans thing is actually kind of interesting. I think that might have some legs, actually. But, you know, at this point, you know, like, who had the Saints, Buccaneers, Seahawks, and Vikings in the NFC as the only undefeated teams after 2 weeks? The answer would be nobody. You don't know anything about the NFL. It just is so dynamic. And that'll bring us into incredible interest.